Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you with all. I greet you all in the name of Jesus here this morning. This is Brother Wilmer again. I guess I come to you all again this morning with another little clip from a book of martyrs that I've been reading from this week. I was inspired to take a closer look or to look again or to read again about those that had suffered for their faith, died for the sake of the gospel, after talking to a friend and cousin last week, after realizing how in the times that we live in that we could see some of these things in our time maybe, or maybe in the next generation, we don't know. We know that this is still going on in other countries and that there are more people today dying for the sake of the gospel than ever before. We seemingly have been spared from that here in this country. However, there are things and indicators that we have to wonder with some of the things that are happening and the indicators that we're seeing, how much longer some of the people will be tolerated, especially people that would be radical in the faith. yesterday, was down in Philadelphia to pick up a load of produce, and there again, they talked to us about the Amish Mafia. This movie that came out about the Amish, and it seems the world kind of puts us all together. All the conservative people, they kind of all put together as the Amish, and you really have to wonder what's coming. Their question was there really some Amish in that movie? They just had some questions there. And, you know, it does bring grief when we think of these. And, again, like on Sunday, I just would that we would pray for those that were involved in that movie. The way I understand, there was a lot of money paid for these young men to help with this movie, and the way it sounds, they really regret it. And I would just like so many times in when we read stories of the martyrs, how they were forgiving, and that they forgave those that were persecuting them. And in this case, it's not necessarily that these young boys were persecuting the conservative people, but it's just brought a light that is so far out for the conservative, non-resistant people. It's not the picture that a lot of the non-resistant people would have wanted to be out there. And I just like for us to encourage us to pray for these young men and to forgive them, to love them, accept them, not to embrace this movie, but to embrace these souls that regret being involved. And the persecution that could come with that, with an incorrect picture like that, we do believe that it was a direct strike from the enemy. Just want like to read here this morning, James. This was the brother of Jesus, one of the apostles, I believe, and this happened back when Jesus was, soon after Jesus was here. So this people keep laying down their lives for the gospel and for what they believe, regardless of how twisted the truth got. These people were willing to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel. I have to ask myself the question, you know, in the days that we live in today, some of the hardest things to accept is when we are taken wrong by another Christian, when there's a misunderstanding or there's how would you say, a false witness out there that started by another fellow Christian. Some of these things are hard, but we kind of look back to some of these places, to some of these stories, and we think, well, they were black and white. But if we look here and we take a little time to see here, the Pharisees and the scribes, the people of the church in that time were, I shouldn't say the church, but these people were set in place by God. And just the difficult times that would have been to be put to death by the leaders of the people. You know, some of this comes closer home than what we think. And then I just have to ask myself, how well do I do to take it when someone misunderstands me and maybe says or starts a rumor about me? How well do I do? Do I fall in discouragement? Do I wonder if it's worth going on? Yeah, it brings a challenge. And, you know, we live in a time where brothers and sisters in Christ really do not mean to discourage each other. And we just live, I guess we just live in soft times. And I guess it's a little hard to put into words for me here this morning. I guess the question comes, what will it take for me to be ready for times like this? How well do I do in smaller things, in things a lot less than even giving my life? How would I be ready to give up my life without defending myself? You know, we claim to be non-resistant people, and this could be tried. Here, James, it doesn't appear like he tried to defend himself at all. It says here, James looked down from where he stood. Apparently he was up on the temple here, balanced carefully at the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. Far below, he could see that the streets were filled with people. It was Passover, and the Jews from all over the known world had come to the holy city. A hand grabbed his arm, pulling him off balance. "Get on with it," a voice threatened. Behind him, a safe distance from the dangerous ledge took the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees. Deny that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. But all before all these people deny that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was resurrected from the dead, they demanded. James the Just was one of Jesus' younger brothers, as was Jude. It appears that James was skeptical of Jesus' claims during his ministry, as was the rest of Jesus' family, until he saw Jesus alive again after his crucifixion and resurrection. James never backed away from following Jesus after that. James risked another glance at the streets below. Many of the people down there knew him. For 30 years he had been the bishop of the church at Jerusalem. During that time, he wrote a book of the Bible, the Epistle of James. He had openly preached Jesus as the Messiah and the resurrected Son of God on almost every street corner. How could he deny what he had seen with his own eyes, heard with his own ears, and touched with his own hands, his risen Lord? Through his preaching, his prayers, and his examples, James converted many people to Christ. He was on his bare knees so often, worshiping God and praying for forgiveness for the sins of people, that his knees became numb and calloused, like the knees of a camel. This also earned him the name of James the Just. He was respected by everyone, even many who opposed that he taught and believed. Feeling threatened by the rapid growth of the church, the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees came up with a plan. They would force this well-known church leader to deny his faith before the multitude, but James refused to cooperate. From his place on top of the temple, he preached with more boldness than ever. Every person in the crowd below looked up as he proclaimed, "Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is sitting at the right hand of God and shall come again in the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead." When the crowd saw his courage and heard his bold words, they loudly praised God and magnified the name of Jesus. Enraged, two or three of the religious leaders jumped forward and pushed James off the temple roof. Miraculously, James was not killed by the fall. Only his legs were broken. Then the priests, scribes, and Pharisees said, "Let's stone the just man James." They picked up rocks to stone him to death. James, kneeling on his broken knees, broken legs, prayed, "Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." One of the priests, when he heard James praying, begged the others to stop, saying, "What are you doing? The just is praying for us. Stop the stoning. Stop the stoning." While he was shouting this, another man ran up with a big, heavy stick in his hand and struck James in the head. James died instantly from the blow, still in prayer. Yes, I guess that is it for this morning. I wish you all a great day.